Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Calgary Technologies, Inc. recently celebrated its 25th anniversary with a showcase of the many innovative companies it works with. And the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology is getting into the research business with the opening of its new Office of Industrial Research. Peggy McTavish talks about this new role for technical schools across the country. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Calgary Technologies, Inc. is one of the main anchors in Calgary's Research Park near the university. Over the last 25 years, CTI has nurtured many inventors and entrepreneurs whose ideas have helped grow Alberta's technology sector. And that's exactly what CTI was celebrating at its recent showcase and 25th anniversary party. John Masters is CTI's president and CEO.
Well, I think we're very fortunate to have 25 years behind us with our founding fathers, the board of directors who had the vision back in 1981. Our growth has really correlated with the growth of the technology sector here in Calgary. And we've been fortunate to be part of that success story. And it's just been a wonderful 25 years. I've been on board personally 12 of those 25 years. And it's just been a great ride. And we all are working extremely hard, but wanted to take some time to celebrate these last great 25 years.
What would you say are some of the highlights?
I think the highlights are in terms of the organization and in terms of the support we've had from the community, from the board. And a lot of people ask us about, what are those big successes that the organization has had? And our answers are a little bit more on the vague side of that in terms of we work with the small companies. So the companies that we work with are not the household names. But at the same time, our client base continues to increase. We've built our second facility here. We're financially self-sustainable. Our client base continues to grow. And that means that we're providing a strong value proposition to our client base.
Now, at last year's showcase, you opened up the green roof on the top of the CTI building. How's that coming along?
So we've actually got phase two of the green roof. So we've got the other side of the green roof. There's a phenomenal number of people who come through the facility just for that purpose. And they're not really technology related. But our whole purpose on the green roof was a proof of concept, a demonstration of what could be done, and we've also attracted a lot of private sector participants, which are really actually trying to validate now the effectiveness of a green roof concept in this microclimate. So it continues, and I guess it also has been a signature for us. And when we won the BOMA, the Building Operators Managers Association Building of the Year Award for Canada, the green roof was one of the assets that we were able to, in terms of profiling that.
What's new for this year?
Well, we've kicked off the master planning for the redevelopment of the park. That just started in September, so we hope to see a more vibrant, highly densified park over the next 10 to 15 years, physically connected to the university. We've partnered with Smart Technologies and attracted them to establish their world headquarters here in the park. They're scraping ground almost as we speak. They've got their excavation permit this week. We've got a couple of new programs that we're working on, and those are some of the elements of our success this year.
Well, congratulations, John.
Thank you very much.
That was John Masters, President and CEO of Calgary Technologies, Inc. One of the cornerstones of CTI is its support for Alberta's growing wireless industry. Richard Belzell is the director of CTI's Wireless City program.
So Wireless City has a history now of about 4 years of developing market access programs for companies in the wireless industry in Alberta. So this would be small to medium companies that are producing wireless technologies that are exported out of Alberta. And Wireless City is a program to help them market their technologies, to tell their story in global markets, and to develop an export economy in Alberta around the wireless technologies.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, sure. We've done a number of different projects over the years, and what we now call them, they're called showcase projects, where we are helping companies to show what their technology does in its intended application. So we'll bring together a whole partnership of companies that are interested in that technology, interested in the application, and we'll facilitate that partnership to produce a reference point that companies can then use when they're selling that technology all around the world. We also have a new program that's just been introduced this year, which is for taking companies in Alberta to trade shows and major trade shows around the world where they can showcase what their solutions are doing and look for distribution in those countries. So we'll now be visiting in Europe, in the United States, in Asia to help companies get their message out. And then I think one of the most exciting parts of our program this year is the development of a solutions catalog. So what we're doing now is going through all of the industry in Alberta and cataloging all of the various wireless solutions that are being developed so that we can use that catalog to distribute at trade shows around the world when we go to talk to people about the products that are coming out of Alberta's wireless industry.
How big is the wireless industry in Alberta?
Province-wide, it's about 300 companies that are producing technologies of one form or another, whether they be hardware technologies, radios, for instance, or hardware platforms or software platforms, various different aspects of the wireless industry, and lots of companies operating in that area.
Well, if there's 300 companies just here in Alberta, what's it like in the rest of the world?
It's a huge industry globally, and I think part of the challenge that Wireless City is facing is in making Alberta's industry visible on the global stage, because we've got a great industry producing tremendous products, but it's a very aggressive and very competitive market globally, and everything we can do to get Alberta companies front and center is bringing value back into Alberta's economy.
Well, Richard, one of the things that you're highlighting here at the showcase is the hotspots, content security for hotspots. What's that?
Okay, so hotspots have been around now for quite a few years, and what we have here is a technology grown in Alberta which is used to protect the users on hotspots, because one of the challenges of hotspots, which is, of course, is an open wireless network, is that it's an open wireless network. You're exposed to all kinds of things because you're a direct connection onto the internet. A content secure hotspot is used to protect the users from viruses or spam that they get from the network or could get from the network. It also protects the network from any viruses or spam that they introduce into the network. So it's a point of protection in a network, and allows you to roll out a hotspot that protects its user base, not only from the network but from each other.
Is that something that Calgary companies are working on?
Well, the company that's producing that technology is right behind us here, a company called Wireless Edge, who are producing a number of interesting technologies for wireless networking in Alberta.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Okay, well, thanks for your interest. Stay tuned. Come on back next year. We've got lots of projects in the pipe, so we've lots to talk about next year, too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was Richard Belzil, director of the Wireless City Program at Calgary Technologies, Inc. CTI's home is the Alistair Ross Technology Center, and at the recent 2006 CTI Technology Showcase, the building was filled to the rafters with the sound of bagpipes and dozens of companies displaying their gizmos, gadgets, and services.
My name is Volker Mindritsky. The company is GoIP, and I'm in charge of business development for the company.
What's GoIP?
We're a small business provider. We work with small businesses to provide voice over IP and other phone services to make them more productive and to help them build their business.
Now, are you Calgary-based?
Yes, we are. We're actually we work out of the Alistair Ross Technology Center.
How did you get started on this?
By accident. I was looking for some technology that I thought might work for small business to become more productive. And my partner came from a large telephone company, and together we decided to start this company to service that market.
How fast is this growing?
We are seeing new opportunities every day that we hadn't expected. When we started the company, we thought we were a little bit early. We were about a year to 18 months before we thought the market would be ready for us, and that's proven to be pretty accurate. But even today at CTI, I've had so many people ask me about what we're doing and having interest, and it's just a great place to be.
Well, you're up against some pretty big competitors, Primus for once.
Yes, there's a lot of competition, but again, as a small company, we're being agile and trying to find places that they're not servicing. So real small companies, virtual companies, people working and living in rural Alberta, we're working and putting in networks there to provide them the same services that they would have in Calgary.
Now, how does this voice over internet actually work?
In its simplest way, it's really moving data, which is your voice, over the internet. It breaks up into packets and then it gets reconnected. But really, there's really no mystery. Your voice is treated as data, and it moves along the internet just as you were working from a website, and then gets repackaged on the other end. And that's where usually the problems happen with voice over IP, is the reconnection, the reassembly of the messaging.
So how are you dealing with that?
Well, we try to deal with it by making sure that someone has enough bandwidth, and I hate to use jargon, but have an internet connection that's fast enough for them, that's not cluttered, that's not competing. And on the other end, making sure that we provide the message in a synchronized way so all the messages get there together. It's a bit of a, when you're working with the public internet, it's a bit of a crapshoot sometimes. So the other alternative is provide a dedicated service where you provide quality service, where voice doesn't compete with data and you give it a higher priority. And that usually solves a lot of the problem.
Are you limited to the Calgary region?
Our marketplace is Alberta. We see Alberta as being our geographic focus. We started in Calgary. We have clients in other parts of the province. And we're trying to build a company that will be able to service small towns and remote locations as well.
Thank you very much, Volker.
Thank you.
My name is Kieran Gunning, and I'm general manager of Flextronics Calgary.
Now, what's Flextronics?
Flextronics is an EMS, an electronic manufacturing services provider. So we provide services to the all industries, electronic manufacturing services here in Calgary.
How do you do that?
Well, we're a global company. We're about 130,000 people worldwide, but in Calgary we have about just under 1,000 employees that are dedicated to manufacturing products for a number of industries here in this area.
I see by your sign here that you call yourself a total turnkey manufacturing solution. What does that mean?
What it means, we're offering to the marketplace that they can come and get all their manufacturing requirements from us, from supply chain, logistics, repair and return, and straight manufacturing. And we'll handle all of that to allow other companies to go and expand their business at what they're good at. We'll provide the products, you expand your business and grow your business.
So what do you have on hand that allows all these different companies to take advantage of that?
Well, we have many different types, different manufacturing systems, but the main thing we have on hand is our workforce. As I say, we have just under 1,000 employees of all capabilities, engineers, professionals, supply chain professionals, etc., all kinds of capabilities, and we can apply that to solve issues or give a solution to any kind of operation.
So what advantage is that then to a small company coming in to see you?
It works in many ways. To a small company, we can get their products to market, so they don't have to worry about that. We can provide all the supply chain expertise and get a cost-effective product to market. To an existing company that is in a growth, and a lot of the companies in Alberta at this moment in time are experiencing astronomical growth, we can provide that growth capability, so they don't have to go out and get the resources. They can use our resources to grow their company.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kevin Jewell. I'm with the Alberta Ingenuity Center for Machine Learning.
You've got a little doggy here.
Well, yes, we do. It's the Sony Aibo, and we use it in various different research projects that we have ongoing at the university.
What kind of questions are people asking you today about machine learning?
Well, it's a variety of different questions. A lot of people are coming here without knowing much about what machine learning is. Of course, we explain it in basic terms. I usually ask them what their research focus is or their company's research focus is, and then I try to sort of engage them in conversation that applies machine learning in the context of what they do. And that usually helps to drive it home so that they understand better what machine learning is.
How do we use machine learning today?
Well, machine learning can be used in a variety of different ways, from control systems, like controlling a robotic dog, for instance, or it can be used in bioinformatics analysis of microarray data, for example. Brain tumor segmentation is another project that we're working on.
Kevin, what's your area of research?
Well, as part of the center, we work on different problems, but my most recent work has been on the human metabolome project, in which we're trying to identify small molecule metabolites within the human system for diagnostic potential and to develop a large free database at www.hmdb.ca.
Well, I hope everybody got that. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you, Cheryl.
My name is Alex Stephen. I'm with a company called Standing Stones Consulting.
Now, what is Standing Stones?
Standing Stones, the name comes from the old Standing Stones of Europe, which were important technological sites for the community, but important cultural sites. And it was the marriage of technology and culture that gave meaning to the community.
Well, that's like taking Stonehenge and dropping it down in the middle of Calgary.
In a sense, we can't escape the fact that information technology is important today. But it's having a shared mind space in an organization that makes that technology do the right things.
So what exactly do you do when you try and marry these two? How do you consult with the different technological companies?
We have two major focuses. One is to get senior executives moving in the same direction. One example was we were contracted to design a business model for e-learning for the colleges and universities in Calgary here. So we worked with the presidents, the vice presidents, the faculty and the technology officers to get a shared view of where e-learning can go in Alberta. So we married the technology, we get them in a room, we use structures and voting technology so people can see if they're heading in the same direction. And if not, correct that before they invest heavily in a solution that might be fractured because of differences of opinion of strategic direction.
What got you interested in this?
I have a background in technology. I used to work at SAIT and designed an e-learning system there, and then I marketed e-learning systems around the world. And I saw some successes and I saw some failures in colleges and universities. And in looking deeper, it was always the difficulty of the humans around the process. So we started looking at ways to get humans to see the world and share views so that they problem solve early rather than later and don't just ride down the technology roads without a plan of where you're going.
Thank you very much, Alec.
Thank you.
My name is Chantel Cameron Lee from ESSI.
Now, what does ESSI stand for?
Environmental Century Services, Inc., and the company has actually undergone new management, corporate rebranding, corporate ID, so this is what we've now become, ESSI.
Now, on your table here, you've been demonstrating this fluffy stuff. What is this fluffy stuff?
It's called Bravo, and what it is it's created from used tire components, and it's used in ground protection applications in the oil patch, and also in water filtration systems to remove hydrocarbons from water.
Now, how exactly would you use it?
Well, here in a ground protection application, what we can do is we use a layering system by which we put Alpha at the bottom, Bravo in the middle, and Anchor on top. It's perfect for wellheads, tank farms, drilling sites to prevent any kind of hydrocarbon like oil, invert mud, or anything like that from hitting the ground. Also, we have our water filtration systems, and we have huge bins that have a variety of different filters in them, and the water can be filtered through, hydrocarbon contaminated water can be filtered through the system and then comes out filtered back to its source.
Now, in the demonstration, you put oil in the water and then put the fluffy stuff on top, the Bravo, and it just absolutely absorbed it and it disappeared. How does it do that? What makes it absorb it?
Our products are oleophilic and hydrophobic. So because they're created from used tire components, the used tire components attracts its kind of likeness. So oil attracts oil, water attracts water kind of thing. Same kind of principle. And it just absorbs all the oil and repels all the water. So that's how it kind of works in layman's terms.
What do you do with it once you've used it?
We bring it back to the plant for reprocessing. So we reprocess and recycle, actually, the contaminant. And then we also reuse and reprocess the Bravo product, which can be reused up to 5 times. And its final resting place is rubberized cement.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That was Chantel Cameron Lee, Marketing Director with ESSI. I also spoke with Kevin Jewell, Alex Steven, Karen Gunning, and Volker Mendritsky. They were participants in the recent technology showcase presented by Calgary Technologies, Inc. Technical institutes such as the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology have strong reputations for training the ranks of technicians, tradespeople, and office workers that make our economy run. But now, that reputation is about to change. The federal and provincial governments have yielded to lobbying on the part of industry and the schools themselves to also get involved in applied research. Peggy McTavish is the director of the new Office of Industrial Research at NAIT.
NAIT has been, much like other technical institutes across Canada, recognized as being able to make a valuable contribution to research with industry in this country. And so NAIT has taken on this role in opening the Office of Industrial Research, and I'm here to make sure that the programs and policies and research gets underway in a positive way.
What kind of research will you be doing here at NAIT?
Our research will differ from university research in that we won't be performing BASIC, but work with hand-in-hand industry to produce the prototypes, the next level of industrial machinery, manufacturing processes, whatever industry needs that is a present and pressing problem for them. We want to work with them in direct concert and make sure that we can solve their problems.
Now, is NAIT going to be able to apply for research funding from the organizations that the universities would be getting funding from?
We're certainly heading down that path. That is a very large task that has to be patiently and carefully worked with. For example, we are presently working with NSERC in Canada so that we have our policies and programs in place, that we are viewed as an institution that can perform research in their eyes. And once that process has been completed, then yes, we will absolutely step up to the plate, present proposals, and work with industry to obtain research funding.
Can you give me an example of some things that you might do here?
We have had tremendous response both from within the institution and outside of the institution almost immediately upon opening the doors of our office. And we have had entrepreneurs come in off the street, one- and two-person companies. And these companies come in and sit down and they present to us an idea or a piece of equipment or a new gizmo or gadget that they know that they're going to get some traction in the marketplace, but they just don't have the expertise themselves so that they can put either the business plan together to obtain the funding or the actual piece of equipment that they want to manufacture. And we do have that expertise, both in developing the business plan, next steps, where to find funding, right down to walking them down the hall and producing for them that prototype, whether it be die casting, whether it be metal fabrication, whether it be something in chemistry. We have that expertise in-house here at NAIT.
If you're providing these sorts of services, does that put you in competition with similar agencies? For example, there's Tech Edmonton at the University of Alberta, which is their commercialization arm, and there's the Research Council and the Research Park. Where does NAIT then fit within that?
NAIT fits as a complementary partner, absolutely. I don't view what we do as competition at all. What we do is work with these organizations very closely, ARC, Tech Edmonton, other research institutions, even health regions, for example, Capital Health. We bring ourselves to the table with them and we explore what are the possibilities to partner. What is the niche that we can find that we can all complement each other? And in this way, what we do is we structure research projects together or we help industry together so that we can come up with the best possible solution.
Now, I hear that you actually have just hired a postdoc to come and work with you.
We certainly have. We've brought on board a postdoc to work in the area of sustainable energy. He comes to us actually as a researcher at the University of Alberta, and he is a postdoc in chemical engineering, and we're going to be focusing on fuel cells development. We're also working towards having this January of 07 new laboratories set up for our students so that we can focus on fuel cells development and what next generation sustainable energy will be all about.
When do you think you'll have your first research project off the ground?
We have been working diligently since early spring here at NAIT, and we have, I would say, more than half a dozen projects that are in the development stage right now. We have been generously rewarded by the provincial government in terms of programs and support, and we have already completed two very small projects with industry, and we have right now, as I said, about a half a dozen that are in the process that will start before this year end and will complete early next spring.
The two that you've completed, what are they?
One in particular is a company came to us, and what they needed was a housing for an electrical system, and this is within the trucking industry. And we sat down, and it was less than an hour. We understood what the project was. The industry partner understood that they had come to the right place, and we produced this housing for them within a week. And we actually had the ability to take this technology to Parliament Hill in Ottawa last week and showcase it to the parliamentarians as an event. And it was wonderful. We also have a technician within NAIT who understood that there was a need for a new piece of machinery and testing. And this was something called a torque tester, so testing load on machinery. And he came forward with work that he had been doing just on his own for a number of years, and we were able to help him and facilitate this new technology within our own organization.
It sounds really exciting in that there's lots of opportunity here for just entrepreneurs and inventors around the province.
Entrepreneurs, inventors, whether it's one person, two person, very small companies, or very large companies like Syncrude walking through the door, we're here to make sure that we consider and help in all those realms. So if you're a one-person company, we invite you in. If you're Syncrude, we invite you in. And we're here to make sure that we solve your problems with you.
Thank you very much, Peggy.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
That was Peggy McTavish, Director of Industrial Research at the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by Calgary Technologies, Inc., Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Innovation and Science, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Crocher.